take a copy of God's Word and find with me Acts chapter 6. And where you're and while you're finding Acts chapter 6, I want you to listen to the Word of the Lord that Paul wrote to Timothy. He was giving Timothy instructions on how he should pastor and lead the church at Ephesus. And he was trying to put into order and establish for young Timothy, who was historians, church historians tell us Timothy was a teenager at this time of him pastoring Ephesus. And he was trying to put into order the way the church should carry on, and you will hear that, and especially clearly in verses 14, 15, and 16. But I want you to listen to Paul's encouragement to Timothy as he's encouraging Timothy to recognize leaders. He first talks about the elders and the pastors, and if you had the opportunity of being with us last week, we talked about what is a pastor, what is an elder, and we looked at that. And today we're going to talk about what is a deacon. What is a deacon? These guys sure didn't pay somebody to get up here today. They sure weren't drug or coerced or bribed to be up here. They didn't receive anything for being up here today. And so we're going to talk about what are they, these guys that we have before you today. What is a deacon? What does God say they are supposed to be? And I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to Paul now. Timothy, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, meaning Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and he was taken up into glory. Now I want to draw your attention to Acts 6, and I want you to read along with me there. As Luke writes, and he records, not so much the establishment of the deacon office, but he uses a word here in the Greek that is that refers to a servant and what servants are to be and what servants are to do. And there had arose a need, and you're going to see that in verse 1. And so you see that the Lord instructs the leaders, the apostles, to establish servants in the church so that people can be ministered to. And so begin reading with me in verse 1 down through verse 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews. So the Hellenists were Greeks, so the Gentiles were fussing about the Jewish leadership that was in the church. And here's why. They were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, people are people. If you understand that, say amen. That means sinners are just sinners. We are all given to presuppositions and biases, and sometimes we carry some of those over into our faith life and into our Christian life, and it takes God a while to prune us, right, and to work through us in that. And so that is what's happening here in verse 1. Some of the Greeks were beginning to think that the Jews were taking care of the Jews, Hebrews taking care of the Hebrews first, and so therefore there wasn't enough to go around, or they were being neglected, their widows were being neglected. And so the 12 That means the apostles summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." This is not an unwillingness for the apostles to serve. If you say, "How do you know that, Pastor?" These men would give their life for the Lord. They would be crucified upside down. They would be put in vats of oil. These men were not saying that they would not serve. They were distinguishing between everyday needs and the gospel. And they were saying the gospel has to be primary if the church is to be healthy. And from that, then these needs will be met. And so it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Charles Spurgeon, in his lecture to students, he gives a lot of autobiographical glimpses, right, into his ministry and into his interactions with his church there in London. And he had much to say, Spurgeon did, about deacons. Some of the things that he would say is things like, "Man, I am so thankful that I've never preached a dead church at a dead church with dead deacons, dead leaders, and just where there was death all around." He was just bold, and he would say things like that. And he was so grateful to God that God never allowed him to experience that. But then Spurgeon on one occasion said this about his own deacons and about his own faith family. He said, "The church owes an immeasurable debt of gratitude to those thousands of godly deacon men who study her interests day and night, who contribute largely of their substance, who care for her poor, who cheer her ministers, and in times of trouble and in prosperity, remain faithful at their posts." There was a deep, deep sense of gratitude that Spurgeon had for people who served, especially those who received the responsibility of being set aside as deacons. I want to say to you that deacons can bring great joy to the church, and they can bring great sorrow to the church. We always want to have deacons here at Calvary that bring great joy to the church. If you believe that to be true, say amen. We don't want fighting deacons meetings. Can I get an amen? We don't want to lay hands on a novice and all of a sudden, man, it goes to his head and all of a sudden he thinks he's super deacon and that he's going to next be the greatest gift to the church, right, next to Jesus himself. We want to make sure that we recognize that there's only one chief shepherd of the church, and that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And out of that come elders and pastors, these guys that are called to lead and to administer and to preach and to teach and to pray. And out of that comes deacons and teachers. And out of that comes people who just serve in a whole capacity of ways. I am thankful that God is not an author of confusion. If you're grateful for that, say amen. I want to say to you on a personal note, all of you men and all of you women who are here today, some of you who are guests here today, I've had the privilege of pastoring and serving in 4 churches. Is that right, Mom? I want to make sure I call Tracy Mom, but that's just because we're in the presence of the boys. When Jake's out of the house, I'm probably going to start calling her sugar pie, honey bun, or something like that. But right now, we just call her Mom, right? And so there's Edmonton Worship Center, and there's Siloam, and then there's Riverview, and then there's Calvary. And so in all the years that God's given me opportunity to serve, I can say to you, I've had deacons who have brought great sorrow to your pastor's heart and to the church's heart, to people and families' hearts. And I have had deacons who have brought great joy to our hearts. I've had deacons that have been carnal and fleshly and did not know God's word. And when you would take God's word and show them, they would just kick and scream and fuss. And I think to myself, how in the world are you a deacon, right? How in the world are you a deacon? And then I have had deacons who have come by, have said, Pastor, I was praying for you this morning. God laid this scripture on my heart. I wanted to pray for you, and then I want to pray for our staff. How many of you know Joe Harlow? The days that Brian and Dave and Carla, I see y'all here, and Ann, we love y'all, we're glad you're here. The days that people like that would come by and encourage us and pray for us, knowing that we're just frail human beings, right? How many of you know your pastor's a sinner? Some of y'all that don't know that, I'm telling you right now. Your pastor's a sinner saved by grace. And so I have my own wrestling. I have my own issues. And trusting God to deliver and to work and to prune and to grow. And so what is a deacon? I hope that you guys will write these down. I hope you wives will write them down for your husband. I hope you church members will write them down. Because sometimes some of the things that our deacons are asked to do, I'm saying, what? They asked you to do that? And yes, Pastor. And I'll say, well, you're going to have to get all the deacons and get all the men of the church together if we're going to accomplish that task. And so what is a deacon? Look at verses 2 and 3 and write this down for me. A deacon is a man of the word that serves others. A deacon is a man of the word, a man of the word that serves others. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right, we should give up preaching the word, serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. Deacons are called to embody God's word because all ministry is shaped by the word. Now, I want you to understand something. Sometimes there's a conflict with that, and when deacons are said, or they hear that a deacon is a man of the word, they begin to say, well, that means that I should be fulfilling the responsibilities of an elder or a pastor that we see in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. And that's not it at all. The idea is this, and I want you to really understand this. All ministry is ministry from the word. It issues out of, it flows out of the word of God. And if it's effective ministry, it is ministry that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, because there is humility trusting God to do what only He can do, and that is bless His word. And so when you start talking about deacons serving, deacons ministering, when you start talking about church members ministering in the name of Jesus, deacons are called to embody God's word. That means we know it and we're trying to exercise it to the best of our ability, because all ministry is shaped by the word. It issues, it flows out of the word of God. We are administers, right? So we are ministers. And what are we ministers of? What are we administering? We are administering the word of God that's been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to encourage, instruct, to relieve, to minister to others. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Deacons are called to embody God's word. Deacons are men whose lives are being shaped by the word. Therefore, they have good reputation. They are men who are full of the Holy Spirit because they read in the morning and they read at night. And God is taking the word and He is working in them and reminding them of their own sin, their own inefficiencies. He is reminding them of the sufficiency of Christ and the power of God's word to transform. And He's reminding them that while they are weak, that He is strong, and what they can't do, God is more than able to do. And it is vitally, vitally important that as deacons and as servants, we understand that. That deacons are men whose lives are being shaped by the word. Men, you have not been recognized because people have thought you are perfect. They do not look at your families and think that your families are perfect. They look at you and say, God is at work in them. And what you should hope to accomplish in this year of ministry, 2 years of ministry, Lord willing, 3 years of ministry, what you should hope to do is to watch God continue to work in your heart and to work in your life to shape you by the word. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's a good thing when I wake up on Monday mornings and I'm able to say to the Lord in real humility, God, I can't handle what's coming down the pike today. And so, Lord, I need you. I need you to help me think right, speak right, behave right, and to achieve right for Jesus' name. And deacons, wives, church family who serve in other areas, oh, may that be the foundation of our ministry. May we not be super deacons. May we not seek to be super pastors or super servants. May we recognize that it takes God's word and spirit at work in us for us to accomplish the task of bringing glory to God as we serve others. If you believe that, wave at your pastor like this. All right, here's the third thing about how a deacon is a man of the word that serves others. Deacons are lay leaders that meet specific needs as they arise, but not all needs. If you'll see here, it clearly says in verse 1, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, what's that word? It arose. There was this special need that had risen or had come to pass in the church, and the church had to address that specific needs. And so deacons are lay leaders that meet specific needs as they arise, but deacons and deacons' wives are not meant to meet all needs. I want to give you an example of that. One of the great ministries that our deacons do here is when y'all move from place to place sometimes, if you need help moving, some of y'all will call and say, Pastor, can you get some of our deacons together? Or, hey, can you get some deacons together and help us move? And our deacons have done a great job getting people from point A to point B and just come around and minister and encourage. But what our deacons are not called to do is to go through and sort your underwear drawer. Right? Are y'all tracking with me here? And so deacons are called upon to serve and serve as they will, but deacons are not called to meet every need. Right? They're called and they are commissioned to meet needs as God raises them before the congregation, and they have the ability and the resources that God has provided for them to meet those specific needs. I want you to understand, our deacons do a number of different things. There are times I'm just thankful. I sit there and I'm preparing messages like this, and I knew where we were coming in Florida, and so I'm kicked back there in Florida, and I'm thinking about what is an elder, what is a deacon, what is our mission. I'm thinking through all of that, and the Lord's allowing me to think of how our deacons have served the church and have served the church so well. We have guys that are discipling guys. We have deacons who are mentoring and serving as father figures to other people. We have deacons who are helping widows. We've had deacons who have fought bed bugs in the name of Jesus. I mean, we have had deacons serve in a lot of ways. And if you say, well, my deacon, I must have got a ring-dinger because he didn't even call me. I went the whole year, didn't know who my deacon was. Well, that's more on your pastor than it is your deacon. But this year, you will get a phone call. If you've not received a phone call by the third week of September, call me, and I will call your deacon and say, will you please call Miss Betty Bett? She's got something she needs to discuss with you. Isn't that the woman on the trader, Betty Bett? Right? Deacons can't meet all needs of every family on their list, but they'll work in conjunction with their life groups, their teachers, other church members, and our staff to do their very best to minister to those needs of the church. A deacon is a man of the word that serves others. A deacon is a man of the word that promotes the gospel. Look at verse 4 and 7. I want you to just hear how clearly this is laid out. The apostle said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And verse 7, because these deacons are serving and needs are being met, and the word of God has not been hindered, but they've been able to continue to preach and teach the priests there who were in Jerusalem. Notice what happens in verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. I want you to listen to this passage here of the deacon's qualifications in 1 Timothy in verse 9. It says, the deacon must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. A deacon is a man of the word that promotes the gospel. Oh, my brothers, how we need to be sound about what the gospel is and what the gospel does and the mystery surrounding the gospel. Deacons help promote the gospel by freeing up pastors and elders to minister the word through preaching and teaching and disciple making. Now, if you are a person who's not been trained well, or you are a person who was raised in an unhealthy church dynamic, it may appear to you that deacons are supposed to roll up their sleeves and do all the work, and then pastors sleep till noon, they get up, they spend 30 minutes praying, they read the word, and they don't do nothing else the rest of the day. But I want to say to you, that is nothing more is further from the truth. When I know that we've got deacons who are ministering, and let's say they're organizing moving somebody, or they're organizing a men's ministry as Nick's been doing, you know what that frees me up to do? That frees me up to meet with a couple on Thursday and to be able to have a 2-hour conversation about what is the gospel. Are you sure that God's bringing you together? Do you have any sin that you want to confess and watch the Lord just get all over just a young family, and you can see the word of the Lord, the gospel just at work in their heart and life? It gives us opportunity to do what God has called us to do, and that is to primarily be ministers of the word through preaching and teaching and disciple making. But deacons, a deacon is a man of the word that promotes the gospel, because deacons share the gospel by holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What does that phrase mean? You got to hold the mystery of the faith, the mystery of the gospel. It means this, that you have to be rock solid, convicted in your soul, taught of the Lord, understanding the word clearly and convinced through the Holy Spirit of God, through new birth and regeneration, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You have to believe that he lived a sinless life. You can't question that. If you start questioning whether Jesus was born of a virgin, or if you start questioning whether or not Jesus lived a sinless life, you need to just back away from ministry, right? Because people who are in Christian leadership are people who are rock solid concerning the foundations of the faith, the rock solid essentials of the faith. And so we know that Jesus lived a sinless life. You're called to believe without any uncertainty that he died a sacrificial death. He died a substitutionary death. He died the death that you deserved, and the death that I deserved, and the death that Tracy and Jacob deserved. That Jesus took our place. He was our substitute. There can be no question about that for the deacon and for the deacon wife and for the elder and for the elder's wife. No question about that. We must believe that he was buried and on the third day he arose from the grave. We must know that when Jesus came forth from that grave, he conquered our sin, he conquered our death, and he conquered our great adversary, Satan himself, and there's nothing that the enemy can do to hold us. We have to believe that, right? And some people will argue with me on whether or not this is a part of the gospel. You don't have to believe this to be saved, but when you're introduced to this truth, just like the virgin birth, you better believe it. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom here on earth, and that kingdom will have no end. And we have to be rock solid on those truths. And so a deacon is a man of the word that promotes the gospel, because those things are settled in their life. Man, if somehow we've missed that through ordination counselor, we've missed that somehow in our discussions, you just need to come and talk to me and let me try to help through the power of the word and the Holy Spirit convince you of how accurate those statements that we just preached and just shared are. So a deacon is a man of the word that serves others. He's a man of the word that promotes the gospel. And last but not least, a deacon is a man of the word that strengthens the church through godliness. He strengthens the church through godliness. Now, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, and believed on in the world, and finally taken up into glory. Oh, church family, deacons are called by God in the Scriptures to unify the church. That means you are called to serve as peacemakers. Men, I can tell you the only way that I know that you can properly be used to unify the church is that before you believe, an accusation on a brother or sister in Christ, before you believe an accusation on somebody in the church, you need to be reminded that Scripture has a parameter about how we go about that. We should not entertain accusations unless they can be founded, right? And that means that there are two or three that bear witness to that. And so deacons are called by God and the Scriptures to unify the church, to serve as peacemakers. And the only way I know to do that is not to entertain accusations, but except through the Word of God. And then you have to be willing and able to call sin, sin. To call sin, sin. It's one of the greatest challenges that you will confront as a deacon and a deacon servant. If you hear grumbling and complaining like those Hellenist widows were doing, if you hear somebody saying something about so-and-so, I bought a RV off Grant because Grant's an RV salesman, and he's not an RV salesman. I'm trying to think of a real far-stretching story here. And Grant told me this RV was good, but this RV really wasn't good. And he charged me double the price of that. And I ain't never coming back to that church again because Grant Pickrell is a hoodoo RV salesman. Right? Now listen to me, deacon men. If you say, what do you do with that, Pastor, when people say that? Here's the first thing I say. Wait. And I say it just about like that. Are you bringing an accusation against your brother or sister in Christ? Well, call it what you want, but here's my complaint. And then I'll say this. You go and establish that by get me another witness who can verify that, and then you guys come back and talk to me, and I'll be glad to listen, and then we'll be glad to begin to address it. Deacon, men, and wives, there are two sides to every story, and the older I'm getting, I'm realizing sometimes there are four and five sides to every story. If you say, where are the parameters in that, Pastor? How do I know when to engage, when to back off? How do I know that God's going to use me as a peacemaker? When Jesus says in Matthew 7, judge not lest ye also be judged, he's not talking about a situation of just being above reproach. He's talking about when we begin to judge the heart of an individual because of what we perceive an action is. Right? That's a serious thing. I want all of you all to hear this. There are times that we have stood by nursery workers and Awana workers, student workers and greeters and deacons and teachers, and y'all have never known it. And the reason being is because when someone came with a question or a remark or something being said, and I began to dive into that history once that was established by two, I would say, are you then the stronger brother here or the weaker brother? And the people would say, well, I sure wouldn't do that, so I must be the stronger brother. And I would say, and as the stronger brother, it's your responsibility to prefer your weaker brother or sister in Christ. So you have the responsibility to go to them, shut the door, and talk with them in Jesus' name. Now, can I say something to you all? When the depth of our peacemaking moves there, God quickly separates sheep from goats and wheat from tares. Are y'all, if you're understanding what I'm saying, say amen.
Amen.
And so we, as deacons and as leaders and servants, we just are called to serve as peacemakers. And then last but not least, he's a man of the word that strengthens the church through godliness. Deacons must understand how the church functions and how God calls the congregation to be godly, holy people. And we set that example. And when we fail to set that example, we just own it, right? Man, I do not want any of you in this church, any of our teachers, any of our pastors or leaders. I don't want any one of you all to think, man, pastor's teaching, we got to be perfect. No, the scripture calls us to maturity, not perfection. And maturity is owning when we are weak in the faith, owning when we are deficient, right? Not being provoked or proud, but being humble and saying, that's it. That's my struggle. You've identified my struggle. And to be able to turn from that and ask God again to work in your life and to give you victory in that particular area of your life. And so a deacon is a man of the word that strengthens the church through godliness. If you say, Pastor, what kind of church you want to be? I want us to be a godly church. A godly church full of humble people that bring glory to God. And through the authenticity of God at work in our hearts, that when we share with somebody or we ask someone, would you be our one on September 9th? Can I put your name on this card? I want to invite you to come and be a part. That person is willing to say, I would love to go to church with you because I know there's something real about your life. There's something authentic about your life, right? And so we want to be a godly group of people that humbly confess our sin, that in great confidence promote the gospel, and in real humility prefer and serve others. If that's the kind of deacon you want, would you affirm that by saying amen? That's what deacons are. And so this morning, we have the wonderful opportunity of recognizing God at work, continuing to work in the lives of these men that he's called. We are going to commission fresh and new all of our deacons by praying for them. And we are going to ordain three of these new deacons. And so I want you to sit patiently for the next few minutes while we pray. And so to make sure that's done in a good way, in an orderly way, I want to invite Corey Wood and Jonathan England and Kerr Isidore. And I need you guys, one on this side, one right here in the middle, and one on this side. Will you guys come? And then, Dave, I'm going to call you out on the spot, put you on the spot a little bit. I want Ronnie, will you come up here? And then, Justin, I need a mic, a live mic for these guys. I need Ronnie and Gerald Wood. Would you come, Gerald? Join me up here on this platform. And, Dave, you join me on this platform. Yeah, you guys come up here. You're going to probably cry, Dave, but I'm so glad you're here today. I was going to pray that prayer for Kerr, but I want you to pray that prayer for Kerr, okay? I want you to pray that prayer for Corey and Ronnie. I know you're going to cry like a baby, and I want you to pray that prayer for Jonathan, okay? And now I want all of our ordained men to quickly hustle up here and gather around these guys and lay hands on them. Quickly, quickly, and press in. Just spread out, make sure everybody's covered. Don't leave Kerr with just one guy. All of you ordained, men, come. Now I want to invite just church family, men and women. Y'all come and gather around. And you're not all going to be able to touch one of these guys being ordained, but y'all gather around them and let's pray. All right, y'all gather up here. What are you guys doing? We're setting these men aside for the work of deacon ministry. And the official word or church word is ordination, but we're laying hands on them, meaning we're recognizing that God is using these men. He's using Jonathan and Emily. He's using Corey and Holly. And he's using Kerr as servants of the Lord. And we're just recognizing that. And I want the rest of you all, if you will, stand to your feet. And if you can't press up here, get close enough, and you just want to stretch out a hand toward these folks. Now, Pastor, what are we praying for? That God will not only use these three men, Corey and Jonathan and Kerr. He'll use their families. He'll use us as a faith family. That God will work in all of our deacons, all of our elders, all of our pastors, all of our teachers, all of our lay folks. We want to pray that God will make us a holy and humble people. All right? And so let's pray that today. Dave, you begin and you lead us and make sure you pray for Kerr. You make sure you pray for Corey. And you for sure make sure you pray for Jonathan. All right?
Father, we come together this morning, Lord, as people of God. Father, we're recognizing, God, that you are worthy of our worship. God, you are worthy of our very lives. Father, you are just so indescribably amazing. Father, you are so indescribably separate and different than, Father, your creation of humanity. God, in the fact that your love so far exceeds any idea that we could have for love. God, your grace so far exceeds any idea that we could have for grace. God, your compassion so far exceeds any idea that we would have for compassion. And God, we recognize this morning as believers, as followers of Jesus, Lord, that you have primarily demonstrated that to us, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, God, in his giving of himself, Father, for us, the unholy God. We thank you so much for that, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this church. I pray, God, that you continue just to do a great work here among these people. But Father, also that you would do a great work with these people. God, in a community that so desperately needs to know the truth of Jesus Christ. God, not a Jesus that our culture has created, not a Jesus that we have created in our own minds, but a Jesus who the Bible tells us left the splendor and the glory, Father, of heaven, God, to become one of us, Lord, to walk among us, God, to demonstrate to us what a life leaning toward God the Father and worship looks like, Father, but then giving the ultimate sacrifice of his own earthly life, Father, that he could be a substitution for our lives, God, and live a sinless life through us. Father, we thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for these men here that you've set apart as deacons, and I thank you for their willingness to serve and their willingness because of their love for you. And Father, I thank you, God, for these three, Lord, that you're setting apart this morning. God, I'm reminded in the Old Testament, God, as you gave instructions for the tabernacle, how you gave instructions for utensils to be used in the tabernacle. And God, your instruction was that those utensils would not be used for ordinary purpose, but they would be used for the worship of a holy God among his people. And God, I know that's what you're doing with these men here, Father. You're setting them apart from the ordinary. God, that their lives would be even more committed to you and even more committed to your church. And particularly this morning, Father, I thank you for Kerr. God, what a blessing Kerr has been to me, to my family, and God, I know to this whole church. And Father, how we've grown to love Kerr so much over the years. And God, how his friendship has meant so much and so encouraging to us. But God, mostly I thank you for Kerr, Father, because I've saw your hand at working in him. Lord, I mentioned to Kerr the other day, God, he's been a deacon long before the church set him apart and recognized him as a deacon. God, I've seen him for his, in his love for Jesus Christ serve so many of the Calvary families, helping move, helping clean up nasty messes, helping mow yards, helping do anything that needed to be done. And so, God, I thank you, Father, that this church is recognizing him this morning and setting him apart as a utensil set apart in the tabernacle for the very use of God. And I pray, Father, that this church will love him, this church will encourage him, and this church will support him. Father, I pray, God, that this church will continue to recognize that, like all of us in this human element, God, Kerr is not perfect and never will be as long as he's on this earth, Father. And I thank you, God, for their demonstrating their love for him in the past and continuing to demonstrate that love for him as he serves in this role of deacon. And God, I pray, Father, that you will strengthen Kerr and that, God, you'll give him a greater hunger for the word than he has ever had in his whole life. And I pray, Father, that you will give him the ability and the capacity and the opportunities, God, to demonstrate his love for the word and his love for you, Father, in very tangible ways, God, as he serves this church as a deacon. Lord, I thank you again for what you're doing here today. I thank you, God, for Kerr. And I thank you, God, for his love for us, Father. And I thank you, God, mostly, Lord, for your love for us in Jesus Christ. And God, it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Father, we thank you that, Lord, the work that you have started, that you will complete it. Lord, we many times, Lord, are struggling with our own inadequacy. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a holy God, that Lord, as we share in today's Sunday school, and Lord, just to see the wholeness of God in Revelation, and know, Lord, we're so far and distant from that other than by the price you paid and the work that you've done and the work you continue to do. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bring this body into a sense of a greater sense of holiness, Lord, that we are all together set apart, that we lay aside those things that seems to beset us as your children, Lord. And I pray in this coming year, draw us into that. Lord, if you have to remove those things that we've held on tightly, Lord, as we look, Lord, to the place that we have to share and proclaim the gospel, Lord, may there be again a sense of wholeness come into this place that... Lord, I've often wondered what your holiness totally looks like, and yet, Lord, I know that what you have done in setting me apart and saving me by your grace has given me a chance in the end, Lord, to know what that true redemption is completed, and I thank you for that. I thank you for, Lord, my son and that has seen, Lord, the work that you've done, Lord, the things you've done in his spirit. And Lord, I pray you continue that work, that he will mature in those things, Lord, and the ministry you have, Lord, in his being an educator, Lord. I pray that his heart is sensitive, knowing that his place to serve in a way that there is so much lostness, there is so much hunger and so much darkness. I pray that his heart will be sensitive before his students, that his love will be with the personality you give him, Lord, to be complete in being able to extend himself in that way, Lord, and without reservation. Lord, I pray that you give him those opportunities, and as he has opportunity here, Lord, may he be faithful to those things as he's faithful to his family, Lord, to love and to lead them. We praise you. May you get all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Father, I thank you this morning for just being able to come into your house. Father, I thank you for waking us up, putting us on our feet. Father, I thank you for the opportunity for salvation, for health, for homes, for kids, for grandkids. I thank you for Calvary Baptist Church, Lord, giving Jonathan the opportunity to serve you today. Thank you, Father, for being able to see a child born, grow through a lot of years and see him develop into a fine young man. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the ups and downs through life. But most of all, I thank you for loving us, Lord, and never turning your back on us. Father, you're an awesome God, and I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for Emily and James and Joe. And Lord, today my prayer for this family is, Father, you just fill them with the wisdom and knowledge and boldness and confidence to be your disciple, Lord, to be a witness for you. Help them, Father, to have that boldness to speak your name. Father, to spread your word. Help them, Father, to have that servant's heart, heart for the people in this church and in this community and in this world, Lord. Father, I lift him up to you this morning, him and his family. I pray, Lord, that you just equip him with the tools needed to do this job. And I thank you for him and his family. I thank you, Lord, for the years of seeing him grow into a fine young man. And, Father, I give you praise this morning for your son that died on the cross for somebody like me, Lord. And on that third day, he arose. Thank you for all your love. Father, I praise you today. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' holy name.
Father, we rejoice in your faithfulness and your goodness. And God, we rejoice in these men who are not only being ordained, Corey and Jonathan and Kerr, and God for Emily and for Holly coming alongside of Jonathan and Corey. But God, we also want to thank you and pray for all of our deacons who are going to be serving another term. God, we gladly commission them this morning. And God, we thank you for them and their wives. We ask that you will bless them in an unbelievable way. God, will you make us more and more into the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, may your glory spread through our lives. God, may evangelism and disciple making, God, be really the overflow of people's lives who are just connected right to you. And Lord, we are going to thank you for how you do all of that. And God, we thank you today for just your word and just your presence here. And God, just for your spirit among us. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll continue to stir and speak to hearts. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And the body of Christ said, amen. 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 Well, this is what I want to encourage you all to do this morning. Deacons and wives, if y'all can spread out around the back walls. And Miss Tracy, if you don't care to get Wayne and Sheila back in the back by the sound booth, I want to encourage you guys by saying a couple things and then we're going to dismiss. In your chair this morning was a one card, and Invite Your One is on September 9th. Our judge, Michael Hale, is going to be here so we can pray for all of our county employees. I saw him at the school. I said, you know, the first time we did this, I invited the mayor to come so we could pray for our city. And I want to pray for our county. And so would you be willing to come? He said he would. And then Buck Bryant is going to come and be with us. He's a guy that I know that's just unchurched. And Buck's called a lot of my boys baseball games. And so Buck's going to come and be with us. And so if you have your card in your name, will you just come up here and lay them on the steps or on the altar? Stephanie will collect them for us and get them on our screen back here. Some of these cards have already been filled out. I don't know how many, four or five. And so if you have come with your card, bring it this morning. If not, we want to encourage you to bring it with you next Sunday morning and plan on being in attendance on September 9th. And we are going to just preach a salvation message about the gospel. What is the gospel? We're going to give a strong gospel invitation that day. And we want to encourage you to invite your family and friends and people that you just know that are unchurched, all right? And then here's what I also need you to do. Will you see Becky, myself, Miss Jackie, Tracy, Brian, if we accidentally left your name off of this family deacon list? We did not do that intentionally. See us, and then if you know your deacon, you spied them out, and you're on your list, it will greatly help them if you go to them today and say, Man, I'm one of your families on your list, and I'm thankful for that. Go by, encourage your deacons so that they'll be able to do that as well. Remember, I think Ricky's bringing his card now, and so you bring your card, lay it here on the altar as we dismiss, okay? And Wednesday night is the first night of fall discipleship classes. It's going to be great. You can sign up for our adult class in the back on the Welcome Center, all right? How many of you are grateful Jesus is Lord? Amen. I am as well. Dave, Carla, Ann, it is great to have y'all with us today. I'm thankful that you showed up to do that and were able to pray for Kerr and our faith family. Frank and Whitney, we want to send you out with the love of the Lord and with the charge to preach the gospel. Frank, you preach that gospel to that bunch down at Park City, whether they like it or not. You hear? If it's hot, you preach it. If it's and they don't think it is, you preach it anyway, brother. All right? And if they get tired of hearing, you come by on lunch break and preach it to me because I need it as well. All right? Y'all greet each other on your way out. Go hang out with your deacons. Have a great day in the Lord, and we hope to see you in Life Group.